Hello, this is David Brim, and I'm the founder of Orlando Entrepreneurs. We are the hub for Orlando entrepreneurship, and our mission is to connect, cultivate, and celebrate our local entrepreneurs. We bring together our local entrepreneurial ecosystem to help impact our entrepreneurs, their companies, and our local economy. Learn more at OrlandoEntrepreneurs.org. Now over to Josh Wilson to get forward with our show.
All right, good day, everyone, and welcome to Orlando Entrepreneurs. David Brim and I are in the office of Carol Ann Dykes Loeb in the UCF Business Incubator, and we're going to have a conversation with Carol Ann, who's the site manager here, to learn more about what's going on at UCF here in Central Florida, but even to tell us what is a business incubator. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome Ms. Carol Ann to the show. Hi, Carol.
Thank you, Josh. Happy to be here.
Yeah.
Good to see you and David both.
Yeah, so this is actually pretty exciting for David Brim, our founder, because you actually went through this program in 2006?
I did, 2006 to, 2010 or 11 maybe.
Yeah, he's part of the family. Once part of the family, always part of the family.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Carol Ann, why don't you tell us a little bit about what is an incubator and what is the UCF Business Incubator?
Certainly. I'm going to project that when you hear that word incubator, you have one of two pictures in your head. You have an egg with a little premature entity in it, trying to grow to the point where it can peck out of there, and it's in some incubator around that egg. Or a neonatal intensive care unit, perhaps, with a premature baby, again, in an environment where all these elements are being provided to help that infant mature to the point where it can survive on its own outside the incubator. Those images are very analogous to what a business incubator is about. We house young companies that would have a difficult time being successful and surviving on their own without being surrounded by a lot of assistance that we provide. You both read the statistics on failure rates for startups, and it's pretty discouraging, right? No matter whose statistics you read, they're really high. With the kind of support that a business incubator like UCF's or any of the hundreds or thousands of others around the country and around the world provide, that statistic actually gets turned on its head. For example, the data in our industry, year after year, says that companies that go through an incubator program like this, and David's a great example of it, if they make it through an incubator program, actively participate, really engage, and graduate out of the program, 5 years later, nearly 90% of them are still in business, which is extraordinary compared to the typical failure rates of startups. Then the logical question is, well, why? What does an incubator really do, right?
Yeah, okay,
well, as you see, I have a lot of space. This is one of nine facilities that UCF operates as part of the UCF incubation program. We cover the metro Orlando area with eight of those sites and have a ninth one that is up in Daytona in partnership with Volusia County. We have real estate, which is an important piece of what we provide. Our companies are in the incubator with us. They're living here. David, when he was here or down in Orlando, he was leasing space from us. But he had lots of flexibility in that lease arrangement. So he could grow as he needed to. He could add space as he needed to. Wasn't locked into a long-term lease, paying for space he didn't need, trying to figure out how much he was going to need for the next 3 or 5 years, because you don't know. That's the real estate side of it. What makes us an incubator, though, is what we add to that, which is everything we can possibly think to do to help our clients, as I like to say, be smarter, grow faster, and stay alive. That usually is exhibited in the form of a lot of coaching. You could use the word advising, mentoring, educating. They all have very different meanings. So we do some form of all of that for all of our clients. A lot of times if a company has a question, there's maybe they have an opportunity in front of them and they're trying to figure out how to best prepare for that opportunity, or they have a challenge that they're facing, or a problem that they're trying to solve. Usually they'll come talk to me first and I will do my best to give them some guidance and advice, which usually means asking them a lot of questions to help them think through it. I'm not always going to tell them the answer necessarily, because generally they actually have a pretty good idea, but we just have to get it out of their brain there. But I very quickly reach out to the community and bring in a lot of people that are really smart in a lot of areas that we on our team don't have expertise in or experience. Sometimes it's reaching out to companies that have graduated from the program and bringing those successful CEOs in. We have a lot of business executives in the community that are happy to make themselves available to come in and share. A lot of professional service providers, certainly. Lawyers, accountants, marketing, insurance, risk management, bankers, you name it. We have all sorts of professionals and subject matter experts that volunteer to help, but I have no qualms about calling somebody up if they are an individual that we think might have the knowledge and experience that we need and asking them to help. And it's very rare for anyone to turn us down. So that coaching, that mentoring, that being available to help our entrepreneurs be smarter is a key part of what brings anybody here to this incubator site or any of our others. Help them avoid making mistakes that entrepreneurs often make just because they don't have all the information, they don't know where to go to get it. The helping them grow faster, that's really about saving time. Having a team readily available at their fingertips to answer questions, to get connections. That's kind of the second C. I have the three C's, the coaching, the connecting, and the credibility that I like to use. It's hard for any of our companies to call up someone, maybe in a company or some other organization, and get through a lot of times to be able to have a conversation with someone or make an appointment with someone or ask a question of someone, whether that's a potential client, potential partner, someone they just want to pick their brain and find out more information about, a particular funding source, whatever it might be. I'm calling from UCF, University of Central Florida, and if for no other reason, that person on the other end is going to be curious as to why somebody from UCF would be calling them. It's rare that we don't get through to at least have a conversation with whoever we're trying to get to and explain to them who we are and why we're calling and ask if they would take some time to meet with, speak with our client and explain to them why we think it would be a benefit to them to do so. But we have a pretty high success rate on that, just getting our folks in the door. And we do a lot to give our companies credibility. That comes in a number of ways. One, just having a business facility and a business address that they often can look a little bigger than maybe they really are. I can't short sell the value these days, especially of being affiliated with UCF. As the university has grown in stature and recognition, and our program's pretty well known. We've been around, next year will be 20 years since Dr. O'Neill started the program. Won quite a few awards. Awards are great. I don't know that anyone outside of the incubation industry is really aware of that. But when you tell the community that you have won some awards from your peers, that does make a difference. What really matters is whether or not we've successfully nurtured companies, actually. The affiliation with UCF, we do a lot to give our companies visibility as well. Press releases, for example. We have a PR firm on retainer to write press releases for our client, help with media relationships, help get them in front of media. Getting our clients speaking engagements, a lot of times we get contacted by organizations that are putting on events, looking for someone to talk about something. They know we have a lot of folks that are really smart in a lot of different things. So whatever we can do to enhance their brand out there in a positive way and basically get them to the point where they are in the marketplace with product and service. They have some sustainable level of revenue and are ready to be out on their own in their own commercial space and graduate them out.
Yeah. So for those who are listening into the audience, you know, we're here at the location, which is a state-of-the-art facility where they have offices all over. And how many companies do you currently have in your incubator program?
In the whole program, we have just over 140 companies across the 9 locations. We also have a great landscaping service, as you can hear right now.
Yeah. But it's an office building, so there's offices, and I see students walking around and CEOs of these companies that are really doing some amazing stuff in defense and contracting, and people are walking in asking you questions, mm-hmm. so they have access to great minds who can connect them to the community. But we're here at this space, and it's not just a renting an office space.
Correct.
They're really getting a team of people and advisors of support
right.
to help them connect in with other leaders.
Absolutely. Wow. And they're part of this community, you said, which is a real core value that they get to. I have many CEOs and founders that come to talk about being part of the incubator, or ask about being part of the incubator, and they recognize that just living with a lot of their peers and other individuals that are going through similar challenges, because, frankly, no matter what industry you're in, a lot of the challenges of starting and growing a business are similar. And here, because we have, for example, so many companies doing business with the government, particularly Department of Defense, there are a lot of common struggles along that line. A lot of companies that find opportunities to partner together to go after business or service each other, hire each other to help.
So as an incubator graduate, I could say that the network that the incubator has, especially Carol Ann, her network from doing this for so long, is just so phenomenal. And as she mentioned, when she reaches out to somebody, they're going to take her call. And people have this desire to want to help smaller companies. Mm-hmm. You gave the example of, you know, when kids or babies or infants are in an incubator and everybody cares, everybody really wants to try to help them. And that's really how the community wants these companies to be successful. And it's when you have somebody calling, it's less threatening mm-hmm. when an incubator is calling, or UCF, the second largest university in the country, is calling for their incubator clients. It's a lot less threatening than you have a company that, is this company soliciting me? Why are they calling me? What's their intention? And it was a great experience for me, and I'm proud to say I'm an incubator grad.
Yes. Yeah. Proud of you. Here you are.
Yeah, so why don't you give us a few examples of the different kinds of businesses that really fit well in the incubator program at UCF? Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty wide variety, Josh. I will start by perhaps telling you what kind of companies we don't accept.
It's a great place to start, yeah.
We don't bring service student-run companies. That tends to be a misperception that a lot of people have, which is very natural, where the UCF is an incubator program. However, we have such robust resources and programming on campus for our students that want to be entrepreneurs, want to explore entrepreneurship. We want them to stay immersed in that. If they start a company while they're students and someone graduates and continues the company, it proves to be a viable company, we welcome them to knock on our door. And we do have some companies that have come in as the team has begun to graduate from UCF and they've transitioned on into the incubator program. We don't do student-run companies. As I said, we don't support nonprofits. We don't support companies that have clinical type practices. We're just not set up for that in our facilities, obviously. And generally, companies that need a bricks and mortar location are not really viable for us. What we are looking for are companies that have significant growth potential. And that shows up in a lot of ways at this early stage. One, we're looking for companies that can clearly articulate the problem they're solving in the marketplace, that they can demonstrate to us that pain in the market, that problem is big enough or growing rapidly enough and going to be big enough that there is significant room and potential for growth. assuming they execute correctly. That's what it's all about at the end of the day. We want to see that they have a product or service, a solution, that has some competitive advantage that they can articulate. I mean, competitive advantage, value proposition shows up in a lot of different ways. The founder or team of founders of the company have to have a vision for growth. There's nothing wrong with great lifestyle, family-owned businesses, the mom-and-pop companies out there. That's actually the majority of our small businesses, which is the driver of our economy. But there's that sector of companies that are the bigger growth potential companies, the founders that have that vision to grow. And that's really what we're looking for, is they talk to us about their company and why they're doing this and where they eventually want to take it. The thing that we screen most for, assuming all those other things are there, is coachability. We can't help somebody that doesn't really want to be helped. What they say is one thing, but what they do is another. We have a multi-stage application and screening process that we put our applicants through that give us the opportunity to spend enough time with them to really begin to sort that out and see how they're going to respond to opportunities to learn and to be counseled and to coach them. The background of the CEOs matters certainly to some degree. And why they're doing this, you know, what they really want to accomplish with this company.
Yeah, because entrepreneurship is hard.
It's very hard, yeah.
So having that, you know, that driving force that's going to drive them through
and
tough
keep,
times.
Sustain it through it, yeah. We have a surprising number of CEOs that have had companies before, successfully exited, a few that failed. They're the ones that really have learned a lot.
Yeah. So wait a second. So a company, a CEO has an exit event, right? They sell their company or they do some type of exit, and then they come back here and they go back through an incubator program?
We actually have. I have, and I think because I've been around here long enough, and this is the first incubator site when Dr. O'Neill started it, so this Research Park location's been here the longest. But yes, I have quite a few recycled CEOs, as I call them.
Oh, I like that. Recycled CEOs.
Yeah.
Now, why would they come back into an incubator? You would think that if they've built a company, grown it to a point where they could have an exit, mm-hmm. why would they choose to go back into this infancy incubator?
Because they appreciate the value of what they got here, and especially after they graduate and are out there, they understand after they graduate usually what we've done for them. I can't tell you how many times I have a CEO come back after they've graduated and been out there on their own for 6, 12, 18 months. They come back and say, I had no idea all that you did for us and all the things that we didn't have to worry about and think about, because now they're having to deal with it all on their own, figure out where to get resources. They come back. We help our graduates. We're happy to help them to the extent that we can. But they really appreciate us after they've left.
And even the contacts. There's certain contacts I've made, even with, I think about Commissioner Tony Ortiz, mm-hmm. that would come. He was very active in going to the different mm-hmm. incubators. And mm-hmm. I still have a great relationship with him, and we still talk occasionally. And mm-hmm. but I would not have had that opportunity to get to know him if it wasn't through the incubator program. Same thing with a variety of service providers. Ed Alexander, who was on our show, very active mm-hmm. in giving back to the incubators. I had an issue with a previous business partner who stole some money through the company account, and we were thinking about the best way to do that. And it might have cost thousands of dollars if I wasn't an incubator client, but he came in and I got to know him and helped me resolve that issue. And now, as an older, more mature company, you know, I turn to people like that who did give back. So he had such a good relationship with me at the incubator that when I need legal services, those are the kind of people that you'll turn to. And so it's been wonderful.
That's exactly what happens. That's one reason there's multiple reasons that we bring so many people here to engage with our clients or to the various incubator sites. One is just for them to give of their time, because when they're here, it's all pro bono, and they understand that. They want to help us help these companies. But they're building relationships, and they're beginning to build that relationship of trust with a client company, just like you. When one of my clients needs to hire an accountant or an attorney or marketing firm or HR firm, they're going to go back to someone that they've met here, typically. Josh, I do want to go back and I think finish the answer to the question you asked, though, because you asked about the kind of companies we have in the incubator, and I went into, here's all the qualifications, really, or the things that we look for. I do want your listeners to understand that we have these 9 locations. Certain locations are specialty incubators. Therefore, there are even further, there's some restrictions on the kind of companies that can be there. Those are, one, our incubator on campus, which is our photonics incubator. So that is 4 companies that are commercializing, usually university technology, or working deeply in partnership with UCF to commercialize laser optics photonics technology. Our new Lake Nona incubator is biomedical, very high-end bio-grade lab space, which is doesn't exist anywhere else in this community in terms of a company being able to go lease space like that. So that is obviously for companies that are in the medical device, pharma, various areas of biotech and biomedical. This incubator here in Research Park is restricted to technology innovation companies. So you have to be developing a new technology. It might be software, it might be nanotechnology, it might be electronics, might be, there's just a wide range of things. Sometimes it does take a rocket scientist, and I even have rocket scientists out here. So I have people doing all sorts of fun, cool stuff here. Our other incubator locations, which are in Kissimmee, in the city of Orlando, Apopka, Winter Springs, Daytona, as I mentioned, are what we call mixed-use incubators. Great technology companies in all of those incubators, but you'll also find a variety of companies that are high growth potential service companies. You certainly find a lot more consumer product companies in some of those other incubators. I generally don't have those kind. And for anyone that may be counting, about that's 8. So number 9 is, it's a different kind of incubator really, but it's actually down at FIA, the Florida Interactive Entertainment Academy. And that incubator facility is for companies that are doing work with FIA, that are engaged with our faculty and students down there for gaming, digital media development, whatever they might be working with them on. So it's another of a bit of a specialized one down there.
At the incubator in downtown, which is where I ultimately graduated from. Started off with Carolina Research Park, then went downtown, but Savage Race was there.
Yeah.
And they're a very fast-growing, mm-hmm. I don't know what you would call it, interactive race where you go through all kind of obstacles, and they were one of my fellow incubator clients. Mm-hmm. So all kind of different.
In fact, companies. If you go onto our incubator website, you'll see a link to a CNN interview with Sam that mm-hmm. they just did as a... They profiled him in their small business segment on CNN. So,
wow.
Great little update on him.
Oh, yeah. And maybe we get him on the show, too.
There you
so
go.
Shout out to Sam. Sam, want you on the show, buddy. So, Carolyn, how did you get started in this? So you've been here since 2002.
Mm-hmm.
So you've seen a lot of companies come through. You've mm-hmm. seen shifts in the marketplace even, in the economy. Like, how did you get started in this?
Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't on my vision map to run an incubator. I'd worked with incubators. In fact, I was actually recruited here from Gainesville. I was on the faculty at the University of Florida, where I was working with a center. I was faculty in the College of Engineering there, working with a center that was primarily supporting direct support to NASA, Department of Defense, Centers for Disease Control, a little bit of Department of Energy, directly supporting those agencies and their research and development laboratories in identifying innovations coming out of those labs that had commercial potential, helping find companies that would want to license those technologies, partner with those labs to take those innovations, that intellectual property, into the commercial market in some way or other. We were working across the Southeast, 9 Southeastern states. I had 14 subcontracted organizations that I managed, but we also had subcontracts with universities around the state working with us. University of Central Florida was one of those, so we had an office here in the College of Engineering and had a director here that I'd come down and see periodically. In the process of that, I had the opportunity to meet Dr. O'Neill and Dr. Swallow and a lot of the folks that were here at the time. When Dr. O'Neill started the incubator program, we watched it getting started. Through our office here, we actually did some market research studies and some other support for some of the companies in the incubator. I did have the opportunity while in Gainesville to be part of the team that created what was known as the Gainesville Technology Enterprise Center up there, which was an incubator out on the east side of town as well. That was really my immersion into incubation. So as often has happened in my life, God gave somebody else a vision for me that I didn't have for myself, and Tom needed help. He had someone who was managing the program, but wanted someone who had a little bit more experience in working with startup companies and entrepreneurs and working on the tech commercialization side, because the Research Park Incubator has always been technology focused. So he asked me if I would come, and after a few months of thinking about it and going through the interview process, I did. And it's been quite a ride to be in Orlando the last 16 years, and particularly at UCF, which has changed so much, obviously. Certainly never dull around here.
So you went from being a Gator.
Yes.
To a Knight.
Yeah, well, I actually went from being an Arkansas Razorback to an LSU Tiger to a University of Florida Gator to a UCF Knight. I'm very conflicted in that, yeah, when it comes to sports.
So do you have like 4 different license plates depending on who you're visiting?
I do have banners, yeah, yeah. Okay. Shirts for everybody, so yeah. Depending on where I'm going. So.
Absolutely. Well, we won't get you to publicly record who your favorite group is, but so you landed here in 2002. And you started working in technology, helping build these companies. Like, talk to us about like what was going on in maybe like 2007, 2008, 2009, when the economy was really shifting. Like, what happened for your portfolio companies or the incubation companies? Like, how did you guys move through that?
Yeah. What happened for the incubation program and our client base, our companies? Maybe a little bit counterintuitive to most folks. When most folks think about that, everything went dark. It really tanked, obviously, especially if you were in certain industries. For us, it was a time of extraordinary growth. If you look at many of the sites that we operate as part of the UCF Incubation Program, those all started to come online in 2007 and 2008. Well, why? We are, to a significant degree, each of the incubator sites is supported by a local city or county partner. We're a core part of the economic development ecosystem and approach or strategy for the cities and counties here. This incubator, for example, we're so fortunate, Orange County Commission, Orange County Government, they support a lot of things that go on at UCF, including this incubator that's my government funding partner. But back in that period of time, Josh, when a lot of small businesses were failing, many city and county leaders looked around their communities and saw what was going on and realized, we've got to change what we're doing. We've got to put some support in place that will help our companies have a better chance of surviving, especially those that we really want to keep here in the community, our high growth potential companies. That's when they started knocking on the door here at UCF and asking Dr. O'Neill, if we partner with you and provide some funding, will you come stand up an incubator in our community? It wasn't the vision of UCF to create this empire of incubators, believe me. I don't think any of us, certainly Tom and I, expected, other than Research Park and the Photonics Incubator and the one in Orlando, those were the three in existence at the time. It's like, wow, this is a lot, you know? Well, here comes Osceola County and St. Cloud and Kissimmee. Here comes Winter Springs and Seminole County, and on and on and on. But we also saw a lot of entrepreneurs knocking on our door. Mm-hmm. As individuals, professionals were losing their jobs because companies were struggling, many folks decided, you know, I've always thought about starting a company, or I need to create my own job. So we were getting a lot of applications at the time.
Yeah, phenomenal. I when I joined the incubator again was right around that time, and I was at IZEA at the time, and jumped ship and joined, and yeah, totally could relate to that time frame and what was happening, and yeah. Absolutely.
So you were, David, this question's for you. You were in the corporate world, right? You were working at IZEA, and at that time they weren't really, they weren't public at that time, right?
Correct.
Okay, but you left and you started up your own business, but you knocked on the doors of the incubator. Talk to us about your experience.
So I kind of came in a different way that's a little contrary to a lot of the way incubator mm-hmm. companies come in, because I won the Joust Business Plan Competition. I was still a student. And so while I was employed at IZEA, I had this this idea at the time. It was very opportunistic to the climate that was happening. The first competition I won, I won it twice, actually. The first time, we had a real estate program that took renters into a rent-to-own situation. So we were trying to take advantage of this market cycle where property values had dropped. Hey, you're still trying to rent, but why not figure out a way to own? And we developed a program, including a technology component, to really shift that renters into owners and give investors a good return. So we got into the incubator program through there. Had some challenges with that, and actually ended up folding that and creating another tech company called GroupTable. But that's kind of how my journey began, and I left IZEA and focused on GroupTable full time, and that was the one that actually Carl Henderson and Scott Wall were the original partners, and then eventually I was running that full time, and got to a point where I ended up bringing Bruce on as the CEO.
Shout out to Bruce Wang,
yep,
our friend.
Bruce is a great guy running MicroJig.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was quite a journey and got a lot of value from the incubator and grew there. And
the reference to the Joust, while I said we don't do student-run companies, the one exception to that, thank you for reminding me, was because we do everything we can to support our student entrepreneurial programs. The first place winner of the Joust each year, part of the prize package was a year of support from the incubator as an offsite client.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. So we did have a number of companies that were basically student run that were winners of the Joust. And most of those, pretty much every one of them, went on to be a company and still going in a lot of cases. So.
Absolutely.
So, Carolyn, you guys have been helping launch and build companies for a long time here. You currently have 140 companies as a part of your program. I'm sure you've seen a lot, right? How are you guys measured in terms of success? Mm-hmm. Like, what does the city look to? Mm-hmm. What does the school look to? Like, mm-hmm. how are you guys measured?
I think everyone in this business looks at jobs, mm-hmm. looks at revenue generated. We do try to, on an annual basis, reach out to our graduates and track the data, get from them the jobs, the revenue, investment, maybe significant milestones to the extent that we can. So it's pretty standard economic development measurements. We do have economic impact studies done on the incubator program every year. We're proud of our stewardship of the public dollars that go into this program. That's certainly a measure of success. Using the data from our current and graduate companies, then the experts apply all the multipliers and everything. On a regular basis, year after year, our companies, with the support they've got from the incubator, are generating over $7 for every $1 of public money that goes into this program. And it'll vary a little bit from one incubator site to another if you break it down to the individual incubator sites. But on a program level, it's actually over $7 to one. That's one way. We love to just talk about the success that companies are having. And when you look around the community and you see companies like Phil Dumas and Unikey, mm-hmm. or out here in this defense industry galaxy, companies like ECS and Wayman mm-hmm. Armstrong or Disti Corporation. If you know anything about the optics space, you've got Opticrate Technologies, Rini Technologies. I mean, there's just a whole range of companies that are out there in the community that are very well known in their industry sector, bring visibility to this community as well. And for a lot of our stakeholders, that's success too.
That's great. Now, looking back over the years, mm-hmm. do any, you mentioned significant milestones. Any significant milestones stand out as a part of your memory, like things that that you're really excited about? When people ask, you know, like, what success stories can you share? Any stand out in your mind? I know I'm putting you on the spot here.
No, that's okay. I get that question a lot. And my immediate response is, well, there are a lot of ways to measure success.
Yeah.
You know? There's financial success. Some of our best success stories, companies that are part of global companies now. They came through the program, they were acquired, and they were a key reason for that acquiring company being able to achieve the multi-billion dollar global impact that they have, obviously. We have companies that have come out of UCF, licensed intellectual property, and continue to fund research back at UCF, which is a big success for the university overall, obviously. So that's a success story. There's just impact on lives, I think, too. In our world, if you look at the medical devices and that are being developed in defense industry, the warfighter lives that are being impacted and saved, it's a huge success. So there's so many ways to answer that question, I guess, you know, whether it's investment dollars achieved or revenues achieved or impact.
Yeah. So we've heard some, there were some acquisition pieces and, mm-hmm. and prior to the recording that you said you were unable to mention some of the names because they are tied to some defense contracts mm-hmm. and such. So we can't give specific names, but you also talk about some investment dollars. Like I don't know if this is something that you guys have looked at, like companies outside investments investing into incubator companies, has there been significant investments made?
There has. It's important to keep in mind that while companies are with us in the incubator program many times, they are early stage.
Yeah.
We're targeting the angel investment world at that point.
Yeah.
And as you know, it's a certain tier of companies that are going to be of interest to equity investors. But as we look at the dollars, and we track those on a quarterly basis across the incubator program, would have to go back and look at the data from the last couple of years, but year after year, there's several million dollars of investment money that come in to current client companies, mostly from angels and angel groups outside the area, outside the state. So that's a bit of a challenge there, obviously, as well. The serious venture capital money tends to come in after they've graduated.
So Phil Dumas, great example. He was in the incubator with me downtown, and his company Unikey was on Shark Tank. He got deals on Shark Tank from, I think, almost all the sharks, ended up getting a better valuation from another group. I'm not sure what area, maybe New York, some other places. But he received some pretty good funding, and now I believe his company is valued at even like a $1 billion or something crazy like that. So he's definitely a rock star and one of those UCF incubator clients that you know, people can look up to and celebrate, including, I mean, Wayman Armstrong, another great example. We're going to have him on the show. Mm-hmm. Everything that he's done with his simulation and defense company, mm-hmm. remarkable. Mm-hmm. So it's quite a few.
It's
So investment dollars so far in 2018 across the incubator locations is $2.7 million.
So just in 2018, $2.7 million have been invested from outside funding sources into incubated companies.
Correct.
So that's incredible.
There are a few cases where we have strategic investment, and with my clients, that tends to be pretty typical, where you have a company, mm-hmm. larger company, that's made an equity investment in one of the smaller companies because of the importance of what the technology is, and eventually those companies may become acquirers. But a lot of it comes from angel investors.
Okay, excellent. Mm-hmm. So, Caroline, this is a great conversation. Is there a question that I should be asking maybe David, or is there a question that I should be asking you that I just really missed a mark on, like that you want to talk about to the audience?
I think, Josh, the answer to that question that comes to mind is, we were all talking earlier about the fact that you have all these ecosystems across the community, and yes, they're not as well connected as they should be, but one of the things we're proud of at the incubator program is that we are pretty deeply connected across the community and the ecosystems, probably just by nature of what we do, because we always want every kind of help we can get. So let's talk about downtown Orlando. For some people, it seems like it's two different galaxies out here in Research Park and downtown. But if you look at Starter Studio, for example, I have three companies here in the research incubator that are graduates of Starter Studio. They started out at Canvas, then migrated out here because of the growth they were having, the customer base, the kind of support they wanted, the relationship with UCF that they wanted. Catalyst, Venture Scale Up, phenomenal accelerator program. I have four of my clients here, we have clients from some of the other incubator sites, that while they've been clients with us, we've encouraged them to go through Venture Scale Up, that accelerator program, because it's a great addition and augmentation to what we provide. It's not competition. Accelerators are not competition. It's just another way to incubate a company in some way or other. Co-working spaces. I've had some of my clients, they wanted to tap into that talent base down there at Canvas and Catalyst. I encourage them, take out a membership, go hang out down there. And they do. We sit out here in the defense industry, but I have clients that are deeply involved in the theme park industry, for example, with all kinds of technologies. So there is connectivity across a lot of service providers. The National Entrepreneur Center, we regularly make use of all of those service providers down there and support those organizations. In fact, Steve South, who's the director of the PTAC program that's run by the SBDC, he's sitting here today. He's out here a day a month just to meet with clients. So there is a lot of potential still. We have so much in this community that is so rich, and that's why I'm very excited about what you're doing, David, with Orlando Entrepreneurs, and happy to help in whatever way I can to just do an even better job of bringing all these pieces together.
So I have to say that you specifically, Caroline, and the UCF Incubator Program is just a shining example of collaboration and being inclusive and not adversarial or competitive, but being collaborative with other organizations. And so that's just really wonderful what you guys are doing. A question I do have for you. So what does our entrepreneurship community need? When you talk about seed level companies, mm-hmm. what's missing and what can make our community more abundant and vibrant?
Boy, that's a great question. So I'll just answer that from the perspective of what my really early stage companies need, because they're just like seed companies everywhere else. The first thing that comes to mind is, and it's more human nature, I think, than anything, but so often I find these entrepreneurs, when they're starting a company, it is so consuming and it is so all-encompassing that it's very difficult for them to understand why they need to lift their head up and engage and interact with other entrepreneurs, with other organizations, why they need to walk down the hall or drive downtown and take advantage of an opportunity. I don't know how we solve that problem. Perhaps part of it is by entrepreneurs sharing their advice and guidance more on why that's so important. I find my entrepreneurs, you know, I'm Mom Carol Ann, I run the incubator here, so I can say it, but if one of their peers says, you know, I learned, or because I did, or I wish I had, whatever, that's going to have a much greater impact on them. So what answer am I really giving you? I think a lot of what you're doing with these podcasts, Josh, you know, entrepreneurs sharing their story and sharing their advice, that's going to have a big impact on some of these younger entrepreneurs, because I think that's who they want to become eventually.
Yeah.
That's one thing that comes to mind.
Great answer.
Yeah. So if there's people out here, or even close to any of those 9 locations, but they're interested in maybe getting involved in the incubator, maybe coming through the program,
mm-hmm.
or contributing their expertise mm-hmm. as a mentor, or mm-hmm. advisor, or maybe even contributing dollars, or whatever yeah. the case may be, contributing, how could they learn more? How could they connect with you?
Absolutely. Our incubator website has a lot of great information on it. We're easy to find, incubator.ucf.edu, or you just put UCF and incubator in Google and we'll pop right up there. I would suggest that if someone wants to get involved, that they find the incubator location that's closest to them geographically. If they don't already know one of us in the program already, and go have a conversation with the site manager there. You know, if it's somebody listening that's up in Volusia County, go talk to Connie. If you're down in Osceola County, go see Jim. If you're over in Apopka, go see Rick. If you're out this way, come talk to me and we'll share with you who we are, what we do. We'll find out about who you are and what you'd like to contribute, what your skills and expertise are, and we'll plug you in.
Yeah, that sounds good. Well, I know that, you know, David and I are both huge fans of you as a person,
oh,
but also, you know, what you guys are doing here through UCF. And just, you know, thank you for helping lift up the entrepreneurs here in town. And for those listening in, you know, thank you for being, you know, interested in the entrepreneurship ecosystem here. And you know, we just want to constantly give you information and provide you the resources mm-hmm. through, you know, Orlando Entrepreneurs and help you find the right path to build something here. But then, you know, let's stay here and invest here when you have this major exit, right?
So they got to tell us what they need.
Yeah, tell us what you need, right? So be heard and also, you know, like reach out to us if you have questions, if you have comments, mm-hmm. you know, comment on these when we share these episodes on social. Let us know what you need or what you want to know more of. We're happy to serve and help lift up fellow entrepreneurs. So thank you guys for listening into this episode with David and myself and Carol Ann. This has been a great conversation, learning more about what is a business incubator and learning about the resources right under your nose here in Orlando, Florida. So guys, thank you for listening into these episodes, and we'll talk with you all on the next one.
Goodbye, everyone.
Thank you, Carol Ann.
Thank you for listening in on today's episode. If you would like to be a guest on the show or start up a conversation with me, Josh, your host, send me an email to josh@orlandoentrepreneurs.org. You can also find out more information on Orlando's entrepreneurial ecosystem, discover resources to help you start and grow your business, and subscribe to future shows by visiting www.orlandoentrepreneurs.org.